Someone who fought side by side with us for campaign finance reform and for educational reform, and a true progressive, and someone who understands agriculture as well as business and education, is Stan Grzynski. And Stan is one of my, in fact, he is my favorite former legislator, because he was always available, always working hard, always stimulating thought, always challenging people to do better. And so please welcome Stan Grzynski. And he's very intelligent.
Thank you, Ed. Well, once again, it's humbling to be here. I mean, I'm standing behind the stage listening to Buddy Romer and Malin Mitchell before that, and I think to myself, why am I here? Okay. First of all, they've said everything that I'd like to talk about, and they've said it better. So that's a little unnerving. And then I think when Ed invited me to come again, and I enjoy and appreciate the invitation, I asked him what his theme was, what he'd like me to talk about. And he said, well, talk a little bit about money. I'm thinking, me? You want me to talk about money? Well, anyway, I'm here. And I'm happy for the fact that I could follow Buddy Romer and Malin Mitchell, because it sort of reminds me about why I chose a course in public life, and it sort of reinforced the message that I want to leave with all of you today, and that is that we have an obligation as citizens. In the final analysis, no matter how unhappy we are with what's happening in this system, or how in fact it's controlled by money, the political system, and it is controlled by money, there's no question about it. Or the kinds of legislation we're getting, or the courts, the way the courts that are ruling, that isn't prospective. That's happening now, today. It's happening to us. So we can't just wish it away. We've really got to get involved ourselves in doing something about it. I had an odd thing happen to me, although it seems sometimes to me that a lot of my life is an odd thing. But I was listening to the Democratic convention, and I was listening to President Obama's acceptance speech. And he struck on citizenship. I don't know how many of you listened to the speech, but he talked about the responsibilities of citizenship. And you know, we throw that word around, you know, what it means to be a citizen, the kinds of things we need to be thinking about as citizens, what we're entitled to as citizens, what sort of life we want as citizens. But it prompted me to think about citizenship. And I remembered the first time I heard the word. It was in the fourth grade in a one-room schoolhouse in a little township, Porterfield, Wisconsin, where I grew up, where Mrs. Schrader said, today we're going to talk about civics. Now, this is a word you don't hear so much these days. But she wrote on the board. And I remember this because we all had to write it down and kind of memorize it. And of course, I was used to writing things on the board over and over again because, well, I was not exactly a model student. If you want to catch my drift, but I was an active student. But she said that citizenship is the right and responsibility of every person to be involved in their government and do what they can to make sure everyone is treated fairly and has equal rights under the law. Now, that's pretty simple and straightforward, isn't it? I mean, it sounds almost like a made-up description of citizenship. And for all I know, Mrs. Schrader made it up. But as I think about it today, and as I thought about it the other night, I thought how true and accurate that is, and how much of it we as citizens tend to forget. Now, as I was listening to Buddy Romer speak about the way money has taken control of our political process, and how hard it is for us to recognize at times the country we live in today as the country that we grew up with as a notion, I realize that it's a failure on our part to exercise our citizenship. Now, I just want you to know that I fault no one for this. I mean, things happen the way they happen. I grew up on a farm. I know my parents had aspirations for that farm to be a certain way, to produce certain things, that certain years there would be certain crops that would be productive, that we'd be able to make a little money so we could buy a better car or eventually send their kids to college or whatever. It didn't always work out that way. The forces around them changed it a little bit. And the forces around us in our society here in the United States has changed us. I do believe that we are a country that puts wealth and money first. We think that that's the most important thing. Ed mentioned that I worked on education issues. I chaired the Colleges and Universities Committee when I was in the legislature. I watched our universities change. It wasn't a devious plot on someone's part to reduce the sort of general liberal arts education that Wisconsin had been so noted for. It was just a kind of a migration toward the idea that we had to get kids pushed through the system, trained to do a certain type of work so they could make a certain amount of money and support the system that existed out there. And more the critical thinking went by the wayside. And more our young people thought about how important it was to get an education so they could get a good job and survive in this sort of competitive society. And that's the sort of thing that we're dealing with now. We are dealing with people, my neighbors included. Sometimes I fall victim to this myself, where I'll come home and I'll sit down and I'll say, there, I'm done. I did my part for today. So now I'd like to see what's on television, or maybe do nothing. And you know, we can't have it that way. One of the reasons that my parents were successful on the farm is that we worked hard at farming. And it didn't begin at a set time in the morning or end at a certain time in the afternoon or evening. It was an around-the-clock job. We were to take it seriously, more seriously some days than others. And that same rule, in my opinion, applies to citizenship. Would I like President Obama to do more? Yes, I would. Would I like our Congress to do more and better reflect my values? Yes, I would. But I'll tell you something. I haven't done enough in terms of my own responsibilities as they relate to citizenship to bring the larger audience in to make those sorts of things happen. I've got some sad news for you. You can wish until the cows come home for change, and it's not going to happen. We are locked into this system. We are locked into this system. But here is the good news. And I think Martin Luther King said it best, although I don't think that he is credited with this as his quote. I think it was probably a modification on something that someone else said. He said, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Now, I believe that this nation and our founding fathers understood justice. They understood fairness. They understood opportunity. They understood, as well as they could, democracy and how it should be exercised. But they also believed that citizens had to be engaged in that process, which is why they created a constitution and a rule of law that allowed for flexibility and change, allowed for people to be involved and engaged. And that's what we each need to do. It should not just be the responsibilities of our people in Congress, our president, our governors, or our elected officials to do it. We ought to be on top of this. We ought to be paying attention to it. We need to talk to our friends and our neighbors and our families, no matter how uncomfortable it gets at times. If it's too uncomfortable, dial it down a little bit. Even I have to do that from time to time, as Paula will tell you. She'll say, I can hear you, Stan. You're sitting next to me. But we have to engage. We need to get involved. We need to embrace our responsibilities as citizens. Ed said early on, as he was talking a little bit about where Fighting Bob will go from here, and I want to commend him for all the work he's done with this, how he's hung in there over the years, facing the adversity that you face when you try to challenge the system. He said, we need to decide where we're going to take Fighting Bob. Well, I have a suggestion. We take Fighting Bob home. We take it home with us. We take these values home and we begin to talk a little bit to our friends and our neighbors and our families about the things that are happening in this country and how this change is undermining the opportunities for the future. How this change is moving us away from a country that is compassionate and wants to afford opportunity to a country that thinks only in terms of who has and how you can keep it. We need to change that. And the only way we're going to get that sort of change is if people like yourselves elect to get beyond your comfort zone, if people like myself decide that just ranting to Paula or to my kids is enough. I have to figure out a way to communicate beyond that. And so do you. I think I mentioned in another talk, these events usually happen around Labor Day, that Labor Day is one of my favorite holidays. The reason it is because I think it gives license for me to get together with my four kids and anyone else they drag along to talk about the important contributions that labor has made to society, why I'm a Democrat, why I do the things that I do. I talk to them about government and all those other things. And of course, this time around, I talked a little bit about money and my concern that money has a stranglehold on this country and that we all have to do more to take us back to where we ought to be in terms of who we are as a nation. And one of my sons said to me, you know what I don't get, Dad, is if we have a shrinking middle class and if more and more wealth is controlled by fewer and fewer people, don't the wealthy people see that this isn't in their interest? And I said, well, Adam, that would be looking at it from your perspective, all right? If you look at it from their perspective, well, I can just give you the flat-out general answer, no, okay? No, they don't think that way. But here's the sadder thing about this. I really do believe when you get to the point where you have more money than you know what to do with, realistically, when you begin hiding your money, whether it's in the Swiss bank accounts or the Cayman Islands or wherever you want to hide it, when you get to that point, you have to seriously consider if it is not a disease and an addiction beyond your control. Don't you think that? I mean, how do you spend billions of dollars realistically? And if you can't spend it to have a good life and help your friends and neighbors and family around you, then what is your motivation? Well, the motivation must be that it's a sickness or a disease, that you can see the limits, you know how much money is out there, and we know all of this now. We know how many resources there are in the world. We can project how long they're going to last. We know where they're hidden and which, not hidden, but where they're deposited in which country, if you're talking about minerals or forest products or natural resources of any type or agricultural productive capacity, all of this is known. But instead of thinking in terms of how we can take those resources, those limited resources, and use them to the benefit of the whole world, we're thinking now about how we can keep those resources only at our benefit to the denigration of the rest of the world, physical and human population combined. That needs to change. And it isn't going to change simply by hoping that someone else gets elected different from the person that's representing you if you don't agree with that person. It's only going to change if each of us decides to renew our citizenship, to establish in our own minds, in our own families, the effort and the initiative that it's going to take to bring things around. Martin Luther King had it right. It bends toward justice. I would not be standing here before you today if I thought that this was futile or a hopeless case. Is it a challenge? Yes. But as my dad told me, as I was cleaning out a calf pen that seemed impossible, this will build character. That's what he told me. And while it looked like it couldn't, it did. And while I looked like I couldn't get it done, I cleaned out the calf pen. And cleaning out that calf pen at an early age in my life helped me realize that I could do other things around the farm that were even more challenging, that would contribute to the greater good of that farm. And I don't see where that's so disconnected from what our responsibilities are as citizens. You know, this is a country of, by, and for the people. That it isn't a country for the people, for the people, for the people. It's of, by, and for the people. In other words, the government is run by citizens. So when we criticize public servants and people who are running the federal government or the state government or the local governments down in the bureaucracies, we are criticizing our friends and neighbors. And frankly, for all those patriots out there, that's not very patriotic in my mind. All right? This democracy is created and established the way it is so it becomes a learning and a training ground for citizenship. If we make mistakes at the local, state, or national level, these are our friends and neighbors trying to learn to do a better job. And by the way, we would like them to do a little better job, maybe some of the critics ought to put a little bit less money into a process that has the wrong people in charge much of the time. But it comes back to our responsibilities. It comes back to those basic values that I learned as a kid. It comes back to what Mrs. Schrader wrote on that chalkboard about citizenship, the responsibility that we each have to not only enjoy the freedoms of this country, but to contribute to making it a better and stronger nation each and every day. That's what Ed does with his Fighting Bob effort and initiative that he's engaged all these years. That's why you're spending time here today. And that's why when we meet again in a year from now, we each should come back and be able to tell a story that we in some way improved the lives and the conditions and the values of this country. Thank you very much.
Huh?
I just had nuns.
Nuns?
Very good. Thank you, Stan Grzynski.